our verse-by-verse study through the book of James. And we've come to James, the fourth chapter, and we're reading the section beginning with verse 13 through 17. We're talking about the sin of boasting, the sin of boasting. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13 through 17. Let's read that now. That's our foundation text. And it reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears or vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." And so we're covering the book of James, the fourth chapter, and we're talking about the sin of boasting. Go back to verse 16. "But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." And what is the evil boasting that he's talking about? Go back to verse 13. He says that you who say, or you who are saying, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, engage in business, and make a profit. We went over that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that there are five things that these businessmen, as I understand it, there are these plans that the businessmen are making completely apart from the will of God, completely with complete disregard for the sovereignty of God. And so the five things are, they're saying that we will do something when. This is when we're going to do it. And it says in verse 13, we're going to do something today or tomorrow. Where are they going to go? He said, we will go to such and such a city. For how long? Spend a year there. What will we do? Engage in business. And what will happen? We will make a profit. All of that was done, planned completely without regard or respect to the sovereignty of God. And we said how that may match Satan's five I wills, as they have their five we wills. We will go today or tomorrow to such and such a city, spend a year there. We will engage in business. We will make a profit. And Satan's five I wills, all of that in disregard of God or in trying to be like God. God is the only one who can make plans without consulting someone else or depending on someone else to make his plans come to pass. Glory be to God. We talked about the rich landowner, how he had his five I wills, that he was going to tear down his barns. He was going to build bigger ones. He was going to store all his grain and his goods. And he was going to say to his soul, take thine ease. There are his five I wills. I will tear down. I will build larger ones. I will store all my grain. I will store all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. Take thine ease. And the Lord God told him, not even tomorrow will you not make it, but you're not even going to make it through the night. So tonight, this very night, your soul, which you thought you had full control over, is going to be taken from you. Glory be to God. Then we went through those scriptures. We're still reviewing some of the scriptures in the Word of God that talk about man planning his way, making his own plans. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord settles his steps. These are just y'all review. Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel, which means the plan, the purpose, and the determined will of the Lord will stand. Whatever the Lord has for that person, that's what will be established. That is what stands firm and fixed. What the Lord has for that particular individual. You can make your plans, but believe me, only God's plans and purposes is what is firm and fixed. Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like the river of water, he, the Lord, turns the king's heart wherever he wills, wherever the Lord wishes. And so even folks in authority who may appear to have power over us as human beings, but they are only so powerful. As the Lord said, reminded us in the book of Romans and Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 9, he let the Romans, the church at the city of Rome, let them know that for this cause, I raised Pharaoh up. And Pharaoh was the most powerful ruler at that time on the earth. And the Lord God raised him up so that the Lord can show his sovereign power over the most powerful man at that time on the earth. God is in absolute complete control. Glory be to God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10, still by way of review. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it reads, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks, and what's implied, on the face of the earth to direct his steps. It is not in man. It's not within him. It's not within his power. It's not within his might or his ability. It is not in man to direct his steps. Not even a man who is strong or a man at his best. It's not in his power, might, or ability to direct his steps, meaning to arrange the course of his own life. It's not in him to fix or order or organize his own steps. It is not in man that walks on the face of the earth to determine his own way. He can't do it, meaning that a human being, there are close to 8 billion on this planet. There is not one human being in existence or who has ever been born that had the power, the might, and the ability to make a plan, to devise a plan, and then guarantee that that plan is going to come to its fruition, or, you know, he's going to see that plan succeed. Not one human being ever born, ever, can guarantee the succession of his plan. It's not in him or her, their power, might, or ability. So we finished that last time. Now, that's our review. Let's answer the question, why should we never boast? Why is it that we should never boast? So let's go back to James. If you haven't left there, you can just stay there. If you have, let's go back to James, the 4th chapter. We'll read verse 13 and then we'll rest on verse 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Isn't that the truth? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Wow, not much high praise for a man, especially when you're comparing him to God. Our life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears. Let's dig into verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. You do not know, and what's implied in there is that we are in the class of human beings who have no idea what our life will be like tomorrow. We have no idea. That comes from Proverbs. This first, the A portion of verse 14, which reads, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, you can write that down. Proverbs 27th chapter, first verse reads, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And so James in the New Testament here is taking that from Proverbs 27:1, from those concepts. Don't boast about tomorrow because you do not know what a day may bring. And we do not know. One commentator on this verse, very good comment. And this is what he says. Life is far from simple. Listen carefully. Life is far from simple. He goes on to say, it is a complex matrix of forces, events, people, contingencies, and circumstances over which we have little or no control, making it impossible for anyone to ascertain, design any specific future, or assure any specific outcome. So I want to read that again and slow it down. He said, life is far from simple. It is a complex matrix of forces, events, people, contingencies, and circumstances. Look at all of that. Life is a complex matrix of forces, events, people, contingencies, and circumstances. Now, I don't know if the word matrix just simply means a conglomeration of events, like almost a mixture, if you will, of various kinds of events that are happening sort of at one time, whether it be in the background or one that's surrounding you at one time. So if you think about this, that's happening all at one time of forces, events, people, contingencies, and circumstances over which we have little or no control. We have very little control over the forces that are happening around us, events that are happening around us, people that may cross our path, contingencies and circumstances. We have little to no control over all of those things. And because of that, we have little, very little, if any, to no control over all of those things, it is virtually impossible for us to ascertain, design any specific or assure with any certainty any specific outcome. We can't guarantee it. We can't design it. What we do every day is we make plans. We make plans. You know, we plan to go to work the next day. We plan to, if you're a teacher, I was a former teacher, I can use that. As a teacher, you plan your lesson plans. And so if it's Tuesday, whatever today is, what month is it? April. April, I think the 15th, you know, this is what I am to do with my students. We're going to do this and that and the other. You make your plans, but there's not one person, that's what we talked about in Jeremiah, who can guarantee that those plans are going to happen without a doubt. That's what it's, why? Because we have virtually no control over forces, events, people, contingencies, and circumstances that can come in and mess our plans up. It's just, what I hope tonight, we get a greater appreciation, a deeper sense of gratitude to God Almighty, and have a greater appreciation for His amazing grace when any plan that we make comes to pass. Because it's no goodness of our own. It's through no power or authority of our own. It's only by the grace of God. Why? Again, we have no control over all of the contingencies and circumstances and people and events and forces that can happen at any moment and throw our plan sideways. And if you've been living for more than 5 minutes on the earth, that's a bit of an exaggeration. You know, things happen, they often go awry. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. The old saying is, you want to see God laugh, show him your plans. You make your plans in pencil, and I mean a number one pencil, whatever, that draws very lightly, and give God the eraser and say, Lord, your will be done. This is what I want to do. And the old folks had it right. The good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll do this or we'll do that. I was a part of the fabric of black culture at one point. And so that was correct. We don't have the control. And so, again, the commentator says life is far from simple, far from it. So getting back to the verse here, verse 14, he says, you do not know what your life will be like. We don't know it. If you want to paraphrase that, some of the various translations or paraphrases of that would be, who has promised you a life for tomorrow? The question is no one. I mean, we don't know that. Remember, the old folks used to say, tomorrow's not promised. Used to say that all the time. That's so true. Someone once wrote, canst thou, a dying man, do what we so confidently resolve to do? The answer is a resounding no. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 lets us know that our outer man is decaying day by day. We are weak and frail. We're just a wisp of smoke, of steam. Can't the dying man do what we so confidently resolve to do? No, we can't. Glory be to God. And again, if you think about the parable of the rich landowner, we went over last time in Luke, you know, he was, you know, reasoning within himself. What shall I do? You know, his crops were just booming. Tremendous bumper crop after bumper crop. And he says, what shall I do? Since I have no place to store my crops. And it's something in this parable, that this is the parable that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and his disciples and those who would listen. It's something that he didn't even allow the landowner in his parable to even entertain the thought of giving it away. He just simply said, I'm going to hold on to it. I don't have enough room. I need to build bigger. I need to go bigger, build more. Began making plans and didn't make it through the night. Why? We have no control over tomorrow. We have no control really over the rest of today. We have no control over the next minute or the next second. Every breath we take, every heartbeat is because of God and not because of any power or might or strength within our own self. Let's keep reading on verse 14. He says, you are just a vapor. A vapor. A puff of smoke that would rise from a fire, if you will. How about you're no more than steam that rises from a cup of coffee? Wow. You're no more than a breath that's taken on a cold winter morning. A puff of smoke that rises from a fire. Steam that rises from a cup of coffee. A breath that's taken on a cold winter morning. They appear for a little while and then vanish away. The literal Greek is, it appears and then disappears. Selah. Let's pause and calmly think about that. It appears and then disappears. This is a brutal reminder, a necessary reminder that life is short, it is brief, and it is frail. And no one can be certain when their death will come or when it will happen. No one can be certain when death will happen. How many people are going to go to bed tonight and not wake up in the morning? There are thousands all across this world who will go to sleep tonight and won't wake up in the morning. Thousands. Our life is frail. It is but a vapor. It is but steam rising from a cup of coffee. It is but a puff of smoke rising from a fire. It is nothing but a breath taken on a cold winter morning. There but for a moment and then gone. The brevity of life. Let's look into scripture concerning how short life is. And remember, this is all in relation to an eternal God. Look at Psalm 144. Psalm stanza 144, verse 4. Thank you, Father. Psalm 1, stanza 144, verse 4. Our life is short, brief, frail, just for a moment. 70 years, 80 years, my mother is 90 years old, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. She'll be 91 in November. 91 years is nothing but to God, to his eternity, is nothing but a puff of smoke, steam, and breath on a cold day. That's it. There and gone. Look at verse 4. Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Just for a moment. I hope this brings some gravitas to the seriousness of how short and brief our life is, and not go off just making plans apart from the sovereignty and will of God and purpose of God. Look at Job chapter 14, verse 1. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Glory be to God. I remember my dad and probably the pastor after him in the mid-60s. Remember this verse being quoted many a time when I was just a little fella. Job, the 14th chapter. Look at verse 1. Man who is born of woman is short-lived. King James says days are few and full of turmoil and sorrow. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Nobody's going to remain unless the Lord God does something supernatural like he did with Enoch. And translate him rapture him, and he doesn't see death, but it's just brief. Look at Psalm 103, Psalm stanza 103, verse 15, Psalm stanza 103, verse 15. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This certainly will take the steam out of your coffee a little bit when you just recognize just how, as Daniel says, we are counted as nothing and less than nothing when it compares to God. And if we're beginning to think we're so such a much and beginning to you know, just, yeah, okay, yeah, I got a helping preacher back there. Count ourselves higher than we ought to. Apostle Paul said that he didn't want to be thought of more highly than he ought to have been thought of. The old folks used to say back in the day, you're starting to smell yourself. You know, you're just getting too much a little bit. I hope this teaching here kind of helps to bring us down, because the Lord God is looking for a humble, contrite, broken spirit before God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 15, Psalm stanza 103. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. You're gone. You're done. You're there no longer. Look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 6. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 6. I just believe in having you see it for yourself sometimes. So that's why we go through so many scriptures almost every single time. There's some ministry that kind of blow through the scripture. They'll mention it, but I want you to take the time and read it. And if you're taking notes, write it down, but certainly eyeball it and let it get into your heart and mind. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 6. A voice says, call out. Isaiah 40 and 6, excuse me. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 6. Again, verse 6, a voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass, verse 8, withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. We're talking about the word of the Lord. We're talking about the Lord himself. For his word and him are one. For the word of the Lord and the Lord are one. And we're talking about forever, eternity, infinite. Then we're just as grass. We're thankful that he saved these blades of grass. Glory be to God. And has invited us to live with him forevermore. But this is a sobering lesson to not think so much of ourselves. As the old say, folks used to say, to not think, to think that you're so such a much. Yeah, just calm it down in Jesus' name. And then let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is where Peter, the verse in 1 Peter, he quoted that from the verse we just read in Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is like grass. That's red flesh, yellow flesh, brown flesh, black flesh, white flesh. All flesh is like grass. Rich flesh, poor flesh, bound flesh, free flesh. All flesh, all people groups, all ethnicities, all cultures are like grass, all of it. And all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which I am preaching to you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Having said that, let's go back to our foundation text. Let's go back to James, the fourth chapter, and the 15th. We're going to move on to the 15th verse. Again, verse 14, He said, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. He said, you're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So instead of being in the class of people, and by the way, the class of people are those who are saying in verse 13 that today or tomorrow, we're going to do this and that and the other. And so he's saying, instead, we ought to be in the class that instead of saying, come now, we're going to do this to that tomorrow and go into such a city and do this and the other. He's saying, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we're going to do this or that. The word, the tense of verse 15, which says, instead, you ought to say. That tense is you ought to be in the habit of saying. You ought to be saying this habitually and continually. Habitually and continually, you ought to be saying this. I love one comment on this is, instead of practical atheism, remember living as if God doesn't exist, or self-theism, love that one, where you're God, self-theism, or just flagrant disobedience, and I'm going to add an even flagrant disregard. James here, the Apostle James, is exhorting the people of God to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and also do this or do that. So let's get rid of our practical atheism. Let's get rid of the concept and the notion of self-theism. And let's get rid of flagrant disregard or disobedience to the will of God. And instead, remember to remind ourselves to say, if it's the Lord's will, we give over to your sovereignty. We honor your sovereignty, your omnipotence. I acknowledge my smallness and nothingness. And I acknowledge your greatness and your all-sovereign power. And because of that, I'm saying, if it's your will, I will do this and do that. Glory be to God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. Glory be to God. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. The Amplified has lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Why? Because you don't know. Your understanding is limited. Your insight is limited. Verse 6. Instead, in all your ways, acknowledge him, recognize him and acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your steps and make your paths plain and straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverence and fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so when you go to make plans in your own mind and according to your own will, what you're doing is the opposite. You're trusting in you with all your heart. You're leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways, you're acknowledging you. And you are trying to make your path straight. That's the exact opposite. And so James is letting us know that instead, say if the Lord's will, let's honor him. Let's look at some verses that talk about the will of God. The will of God. Look at Acts, the 18th chapter, verse 20. Acts 18, verse 20. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We hear what the Spirit is saying to us, to acknowledge you, your sovereignty, your will, your plans, your purpose. We acknowledge it. Because whether we acknowledge it or not, only God's plan is going to happen. That's what we just read in those verses in Proverbs and Psalms. Anyway, God's plan is going to happen anyway. But as children of God, we are to honor God in all that we think, speak, and do. And part of being honorable and operating in complete honesty in all things, as part of that prayer from Hebrews 13:18, is to acknowledge the sovereignty and power and wisdom of God. Look at verse 20 of Acts 18. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, Apostle Paul, he did not consent. Verse 21. But taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again if God wills, he set sail from Ephesus. They wanted him to stay. He said, no, I got to go, but I'm coming back if God wills. Okay. Remember, I love going to scripture, showing you this in scripture. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, next book over, verse 9. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Got it? For God, whom I serve in my spirit. Oh, going too fast. In Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Okay. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always, verse 10, in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. I've been praying and praying. I want to get to you. And now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. May my success in coming to you, I am acknowledging first that only can happen by God's will. That's how we're to live. This is the great Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me know if I'm going too fast. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. So I'm coming to you, and I'm just going to just find out. No, I'm going to come to you if the Lord wills, because if the Lord is not willing, then I'm not coming to you. And that's why those plans must be made in pencil. Yes, I'm going to do this tomorrow if the Lord's will. That's the pencil part, because the Lord may be willing to erase your entire plan and come with something else. Slide over to chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7. Excuse me. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing. So I don't just want to come by. I just don't want to fall through, as we would say today. Fall through means to, I'm going to come there for a hot second, I'm going to keep it moving. He says, I just don't want to come in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time. I want to hang around if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. Even simple plans. He wants to come and see him. He wants to see him for a while. He said, oh, that's just a little thing. I'm just going to go visit grandma. It's no big deal. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know what all of the contingencies and circumstances and events and forces that has to happen just to get you to grandma's house. We just don't know. And even grandma may live across the street. You figure that's just a quick jog across the street and I'm going to holler at grandma. Dog can come out. Pit bull get loose from my owner. Boom. There you are. Somebody drunk just happened to be driving down the street at that time you're trying to cross the street. I mean, there are just so many things that the Lord God keeps from happening to us that we do not have any idea that what's about to happen in order to keep us safe. That's why the old folks used to say in their prayers, Lord God, we thank you for keeping us from danger seen and unseen. Oh, I feel my help. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, there are many of us that would have been dead, as they used to say, in our grave. Glory be to God. We thank God for his power. All right, as we get ready to close, look at Hebrews chapter 6. And this will be the last verse here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Lord willing, if the Lord permits. Because even now, heart attack could happen, heart stop beating, anything can happen. Glory be to God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Give him the honor, give him the glory that's due his name. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do. What will we do? Leaving the elementary teaching about Christ. Verse 1. We're going to do that if God permits. It's that simple. God is worthy to be acknowledged by his children. The world is not going to do it. But when we make our plans, we make them with the acknowledgement that God is sovereign over all. And above my will stands God's will. And that's what we want to remember in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for reminding us who's in control, who is sovereign, who is omnipotent. For it is you, Father God. You are our God and our Father who resides in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for making us your children. And we will endeavor to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Why? Because you deserve it. And you're worthy of it. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. We are about to sign off. We just want to remind you that our next stream will be Sunday, Lord willing, at 10:30. And we invite you to join us for the word of God then, in Jesus' name. Amen.